We do not claim any rights to any audio clips taken from other media used in our podcast.
These belong to the studios and creators that made the characters and stories portrayed in the clip, and we have only used these clips for entertainment and reference purposes.
My brain was thinking of a song from a Harry Potter musical.
Oh, honey, Mama loves you.
It's actually a Harry Potter sequel, so it's even worse.
Oh, golly.
If you guys are at all fans of Harry Potter, you can find them on YouTube. They're amazing. It's fantastic. It's a parody musical. But there's a part where they are teasing Hermione, and they're literally, and she can't sing. And so they're going, Hermione can't sing, Hermione can't sing, Hermione cannot sing. And so my brain just thought, Brandon can't dance, Brandon can't dance, Brandon cannot dance. I'm sorry.
Hey there, everyone. This is Rebecca. I'm the mom.
And I'm her daughter, Hannibal.
All right, so we are sitting here together on a Saturday.
Yes.
We're kind of breaking our normal trends.
Yes, because mom's got a little bit of a trip she's got planned this next week.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So we can't get together on our normal recording day.
But you know what? We get to go to, Dad and I get to go to a hot springs.
Yeah, lucky you.
With his work people.
Which will be fun.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I've heard his work people are cool.
I don't know. They're going to be in meetings and stuff all day, and I'm going to go sit in the hot springs all day.
You're just going to be sitting in hot springs all day long.
Right? I might be taking my laptop with me to edit when I start turning into a prune.
Perhaps.
And I can go back into the room and edit some.
Makes sense.
But in the meantime, your husband, who we've mentioned before, is in the National Guard.
Yes.
He's on his 2 weeks a month. Let's see, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. He's on his 2 weeks a year right now.
Yes, his annual training. So he's gone out of town for 2 weeks.
And isn't this his last one before his contract is up?
Yep, his contract is up this coming March, and he's very excited about it.
And then you get your husband back.
Yes, then I don't lose him for a weekend every month. And
2 weeks every year.
Yeah, I already miss him.
Didn't he just leave yesterday, right?
This morning.
This morning?
This morning.
He just left this morning.
Yeah.
You're adorable.
I miss him.
Such newlyweds. So, since Hannibal is all sad and lonely, and I'm going to be gone this coming week, and my husband is working today, we're like, hey, we don't have anything going on today. So we just watched Chucky's back, and then we rewatched together while we took notes and pulled clips. And now we're recording it.
Yeah, so we're doing Chucky's back all in one day, which I'm okay with, because I really liked this episode.
Me too. It was a really fun one.
Oh, yeah. This was definitely fun. If you guys know this episode, it's all about Steve this week.
Yes.
Yes.
All about
Steve.
Which
is fun.
So this one actually looked like it had two writers, Steve Wasserman and Jessica Klein.
I recognize Steve Wasserman. I think he's been a writer in previous episodes.
I'm not sure about Jessica Klein. I thought I remembered seeing that name.
Possible.
But I don't remember now.
I don't know. Who knows?
So, anyhow, they did a great job on this episode, I think.
Oh,
yeah. Their writing skills go really, really well together.
They did a really nice job of this episode kind of had its own complete story that also still left things off for coming episodes.
Yeah, it also answered questions from previous episodes.
It did. It kind of felt like there were certain storylines that got kind of wrapped up in a nice little bow and others that are just now getting started.
Yeah.
Which is going to be fun.
I agree. Yes. So before we get fully into this, Ms. Hannibal, let's remind everybody where to find our blog, because we're trying to get back into being more consistent with recording, editing, and sharing our information elsewhere as well.
Of course.
It is back to the Peach Pit. Again, number two, not the word two.
Yep.
Back to the Peach Pit. Weebly.com.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
Yep. Cool. So then, like, I got that right, right?
Back to the peachpit.weebly.com. And I have been the one writing the blogs for a little while. And I would love it if you guys would hop on there and, you know, make it a conversation. Tell us what you thought of the episode. Did you have some different thoughts that we didn't end up mentioning or some responses to what we did talk about? Let us know.
Yeah. Currently, what we are doing is it's basically kind of a summary.
It's sort of like a little preview of what you'll get when you listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if there's ever times where there's specific moments we talk about in the podcast where we're like, oh yeah, we took a picture of that, or we took a screenshot of that, or you know, we found a picture of this, we share it there on the blog typically.
Yes.
Like a couple episodes ago, They were at the CD party. Yeah. And drunk David grabs Brandon's peck.
Oh my gosh.
Hannibal and I were able to get a picture of the screen of that moment because it was just so hilarious.
Oh yeah. And of course of the poor sting.
Oh my goodness. I wanted to cry when I uploaded that to the blog.
Yes. Or, you know, in previous episodes, it's been like a certain dress somebody was wearing.
The red dress
or different outfits of Brenda's.
Can you believe I just said the red dress and she didn't start giggling?
It took a lot of effort.
Really proud of you. I was trying to trip you up. So yes, so check out our blog. We do try to keep that updated. If people start interacting more at all.
Yeah.
We would love to have more of a conversation, less of a, here's what we talked about.
Yeah, I'd love to make it more of a, here's some conversation topics, and then have you guys give us some responses.
Because we would love feedback.
We would love some feedback. So if you guys want to give us, you know, a little comment or a little, you know, message or something of some kind, we would love that.
So on the same kind of topic, we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And all of them are linked in the show notes here.
Yes.
So if you are on one of those platforms, go like us, follow us, whatever that platform phraseology is.
Yes.
And we always post, we almost always post on there. Hannah has a very guilty look on her face right now. We almost always post on one of those or on all of those when we put out a new episode or when something interesting is going on.
As long as I remember to do it.
The band who plays our theme song, the Caffeine Creek Band,
yes,
who we give full credit to at the end of every episode, they put out a new album recently, and I shared that on our Facebook page. Nice. I don't even think Hannah knew I did that because she doesn't go on Facebook.
I don't Facebook very often, guys.
I'm the Facebooker.
Yes. But anywho. So that's where you guys can find us. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to hear from you.
Last but not least, before we really get into digging into this episode, we see on our analytics, a lot of you listen on Apple Podcasts. We have been stuck at 6 ratings.
Yes.
And 2 reviews. For a very, very long time. And we would be very appreciative to get some feedback. Like we said, we have improved a lot. So
I think we have.
Girl, go back and listen to season 1.
Let us know if there are ways that we can improve more, though.
We would love to hear that.
Yes.
If you like what we're doing, please let us know. We need a pat on the back.
Yeah, I could use some encouragement.
Sure.
Yeah.
Other than me, Hannibal. You're doing great, babe.
Oh, thanks. You're doing great too, Mom.
Thanks. Mother-daughter encouragement is one thing, but
stranger encouragement? That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. All right, so let's move on with this now.
Yes.
Today we are discussing season 2, episode 17 of 90210.
Chucky's back. Ooh.
We didn't even plan that again.
No.
You know what?
We rarely plan it.
We plan it at the end of every episode. That's when we say our name together, back to the Peach Pit.
That's the only time that we ever plan saying things together, guys.
We just have issues.
You ready for the Back to the Peach Pit description here, Mom?
I am so ready for it. Let me hear it.
Okay.
Carry on.
With rumors flying about a potential Hartley House reunion show, Steve is now forced to spend time with his mother's old coworker from the show, her TV son, Chucky. The former child star's entitled attitude will end up getting Steve into a little bit of trouble, and then Steve will set off on a mission to find out about his past and where he comes from.
All right, so this is going to be an interesting episode.
Yeah, I definitely really like this one.
I did too.
Yes.
So the episode starts off at school, and we hear David announcing the big dance, the winter dance is coming up, and the three girls are walking through the halls talking about finals and the dance and just all of the jazz.
Of course.
So the camera pans over, and we see Brandon standing there next to the stairs, and Steve comes down the stairs, and that was last week's teaser clip.
Yes.
Which... I have to say, okay, it's the cold open you guys just heard at the beginning of this episode. That was Hannibal's response to what went through her brain after she heard the teaser clip.
I'm weird, guys, okay?
As you've heard, we both are kind of into other media things of sorts.
Yes, I
kind of. She's a massive Potterhead.
A little bit. I used to be a massive Potterhead, and I loved, loved, loved Harry Potter.
So these days, I'm the only reason you aren't is because there are no new episodes. There's no new shows.
That's fair. And the new movies that they did put out are really bad. I mean, no offense to them, but
they were really bad.
They were bad.
Yeah.
But so,
and now with all the crap going on with Johnny Depp in the real world.
Oh, yeah. And J.K. Rowling. And
that's all kind of put on the back burner.
It's a bit messy, guys. But there's nothing wrong with the parody musical. The parody musical is great. And because of that, we got that beautiful gem that we now call the Brandon Can't Dance song.
We may or may not have sung that multiple times over the last few weeks.
Yeah, any time that Brandon now mentions that he doesn't dance or can't dance or doesn't want to dance, mm-hmm. it comes through my mind now.
Yep. Yep. So I just had to share with you guys that moment you just heard at the beginning, that's what Hannibal thought and said after hearing that conversation between Steve and Brandon.
Yeah. But so they're talking about the dance, and yes. Brandon is saying that he's not going to go originally because he doesn't have a date, and then also because he doesn't like to dance.
It is like being in the same room with people who are dancing.
Yes.
He's very anti-dance.
But then Steve is saying that he's going to go and ask Kelly.
Yeah.
Because he's forgiven her for breaking up with him.
Yes. Yeah. He forgives her.
He forgives her. So he's going to give her a second chance.
So he goes up behind her, covers her eyes, and says, guess who? And she immediately is like, hi, Steve.
And he's like, did you recognize me from my touch, from my scent? He's trying to be all, like, cheesy, cheesy, romantic. And she's like, no, I recognize you from your sweaty palms.
I was dying. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we all have had that person in our lives. That
friend.
That friend, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that they always have sweaty palms.
Just sweaty hands all the time. It's like, how nervous are you?
Hannibal, who am I thinking of from your past that always had the sweatiest palms ever?
My old buddy Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when he was in the school musicals and stuff with you, and he would have to, like, touch somebody's hand when he was dancing, and they would be like, ew, wiping their hands off. He wasn't nervous.
No, he just has sweaty hands. We were in typing class together, and they had like laptops set up in the classroom instead of like, you know, normal like desktop.
Yeah.
And so the little like laptop thing below the keyboard would constantly, after we had a long period of having to like look at the board and type this thing out, then he would lift his hands and there would be puddles on the laptop.
It was nasty.
It was gross. And I sat right next to him, but I would always just be like, Brett, your hands are gross. And he's like, I know.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
So apparently Steve is
one of those people.
Yep.
And Kelly is just calling him out for it, and I love it.
But he's asking her to the dance. And she says, I'm sorry, I already have a date. I'm going with Chuck Wilson.
And he is immediately real upset about this.
Yes, because at this point we don't know who Chuck Wilson is.
We don't know.
But we see a very visible change in Steve when he hears that name.
Yeah.
So he goes and Steve is telling Brandon how much he hates Chuck Wilson.
And then why he hates
Chuck. And why he hates him. Yeah, he's telling him why he hates him. He's telling him that he hates him. And the conversation starts off at school, but then the scene changes and the conversation keeps going in this clip.
In Steve's bedroom.
In Steve's bedroom at his house, and they're watching a part of an episode of the Hartley House together.
If I flunk history, you can thank Chucky Wilson for me.
What? You're losing it, man.
I mean it. It's all because of him.
Wait a minute, Steve. You don't even talk to Chuck Wilson. What is he to you?
You don't know who he is, do you? You don't watch nearly enough TV.
Well, cowboy.
Chuck Wilson was the little kid on your mom's TV show.
Mm-hmm. He's as obnoxious now as he was then. He's got himself thrown out at practically every private school in Los Angeles.
Chucky, what are you doing?
Hi, Mom.
But that's your daddy's birthday cake.
I was just testing it to make sure it was good.
Oh. You're gonna be sick. Ah, come on. He was just some stupid little kid. Not to me. When I was little, I used to go to the studio to see my mom. They'd stick us together because, you know, we're the same age. He'd hit me, bite me, pull my hair, break my toys, and every time I'd be the one to get blamed. Why? Because he's a star, Brandon. A 5-year-old with an attitude. And if he didn't get his way, he wouldn't go on. A lot of millions wrote on that cute smile of his, so no one much cared if little Steve-O was crying. And what about your mom? She played along. It was all part of the job. Know your lines, be nice to Chucky. Come on, it was 10 or 12 years ago. We were just little kids. He could have changed. You know what he said when I first saw him at West Beverly? Watch out, Steve-O. Chucky's back.
Oof.
We've all, I think, had kids like this in our lives growing up.
Yep.
There was always that kid that you were kind of forced to hang out with. And a lot of times you just end up being mean to each other because you don't want to be forced. Kids don't like to be forced to hang out with each other.
No.
Working with kids, you very much learn to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force certain kids to hang out with certain kids. It just doesn't work.
It does not work.
Especially when one of those kids has a bit of an entitled attitude.
Oh, and Chucky definitely does.
Chucky definitely does, as we see once we meet Chucky on screen.
So then, at the end of this clip, Steve's mom comes into the room and tells him that, well, okay, first of all, before they really start talking about that night, when she comes in, oh, I didn't know we had company.
And Steve just goes, Brandon's not company.
That just cracked Hannibal and I up.
Oh,
Brandon's not company. Just like, no, it's just Brandon.
I think it's because he gets that same treatment at the Walsh's.
Yes.
Because when Steve goes over to the Walsh's, it's just Steve's over. It's not, we have company over. Oh, hey, Steve came home with me today. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And when Steve is over at the Walsh's, I'm sure he gets sent to go and clean up the dinner dishes and help with stuff.
He's answered the phone.
Yeah. He's like, oh, phone's ringing. I'm going to get it. He's
made himself at home at the Walsh's. And so he wants to make sure that Brandon feels at home at his place.
I thought that was really cute.
That was really cute.
But she comes in to tell him that Charles is coming to dinner tonight and that he needs to be on his best behavior.
And he is not pleased about this.
No.
And she kind of guilts him into being nice to him just for a little while for us. And because
I hate how she doesn't call him by his name. She calls him gorgeous.
All the time.
She doesn't call her son by his name.
The entire episode, I don't think she used his
gorgeous,
name.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. I'm like, okay.
I get that he's pretty.
Yeah, he is pretty. But she just needs because he is not an ornament. He's not a decoration. He's a human.
With feelings.
Wow.
Yeah. And poor Steve is... Mm-hmm. He knows that this is not going to be a fun interaction for him because no interaction with this kid is pleasant.
No.
And he's always been forced to be nice to this kid.
Yep.
Ugh.
So he comes to dinner that night and he calls Samantha mom to her face.
Not on screen. Not like they're not making the show or anything.
They're at her house having dinner in a casual setting.
Because they're having this dinner because Chucky is hesitating on doing the Hartley House reunion.
Yep.
And
if he doesn't do it, then they don't have a show.
They don't make the show because everyone wants to see the cute kid all grown up now looking like a teenager.
Ugh.
That teenage girls will probably fawn over.
So then we switch over and we see over at the Walsh's and the family's all there plus Kelly. They're getting the dinner table set, and Kelly's folding napkins all cute-like.
Oh, yeah. And they're talking about Chucky and which show was the Hartley House again? Because the Walsh's aren't big TV people. They just aren't.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And so they're talking about the show, and when they kind of talk about who Chucky was.
And they talk about the difficulties between Steve and Chucky.
And how Kelly's Brandon does. Yeah, and how, you know, Steve just can't stand the kid, and Kelly's like, well, I mean...
She said something about, well, it's not like we have to choose between Chucky and just Steve.
Because, you know, she tells them that she's going to the dance with Chucky. And then she's telling them how they've always hated each other. But that doesn't mean I have to choose.
the entire Walsh family all kind four of stops and just looks at her like, excuse me?
Even
no
Jim.
One says anything, but yeah, they're just looking at her.
All giving her this look like, are you for real? And it you seems like they're all
do
kind
have
of
to choose.
They're all kind of silently saying, you've got to choose. Steve's yeah. your friend.
The look on their faces, they're telling her that.
Yeah.
So back over at Steve's house, his mom is really upset at him after, so Chucky just left. And she's upset at him for not being nice to Chuck at dinner. And he asks her, why aren't you ever on my side?
It's like nothing has ever changed. You're always siding with him.
Yeah. But she just wants him to be nice to Chucky. She doesn't seem, she kind of ignores the fact that he seems troubled by this.
Yeah.
She doesn't care. She's just focused on, you just need to be nice to him.
Until this deal is over.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a horrible thing to make somebody do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty low.
Is to, basically she's telling him, endure the bullying until I get this deal all made.
Very self-focused.
Very self-focused.
So, the next day at school, this guy named John Griffin, I think was his name?
I think so.
Something, they called him Griffin at one point, then they used the first name another time, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
He wants to run a piece in the Blaze about Chuck and Steve, the two sons of Samantha Sanders.
Because there's rumors of a Hartley House reunion coming up.
Yeah.
And he thinks that this is the kind of stuff that Beverly Hills kids want to read in the newspaper.
And Andrea at first is like, well, we don't really run puff pieces like this.
No.
And he tries to frame it in the way that it's not a puff piece. It's about two students in our school and all this stuff. Well,
and
I can see what he's saying, but...
And it's about looking at child stars, and they're just a different breed, and why is that? And
this guy definitely wants to turn it into a puff piece.
He definitely wants it to be a puff piece.
Brandon tells Andrea, if you want to run it, let me have it. Because he wants to look out for Steve. He wants to make sure it's done respectfully.
Exactly, because otherwise, if somebody who doesn't know Steve does it, it'll end up just being a puff piece who just throws out all of Steve's dirty laundry.
It would end up being all about how wonderful Chucky is and how Steve's the bad guy.
Yeah. And Brandon wants to prevent that from happening. So he's like, I will do the story. And she just tells him, remember to be objective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets the piece and is like, okay, well, that's going to happen. And so first he goes to talk to Chuck. And during this conversation with Chucky, Steve walks up.
Samantha Sanders was like a mom to me. I mean, she kept me in line, and she taught me so much about acting and the business, and she and Steve were like family. So you and Steve got along. Ah. We were like this. I loved him like a brother.
Really?
Excuse me, I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
No, actually, I'm almost finished here.
I was just telling, Brandon. I was just telling Brandon my life story.
You were a part of it, unfortunately.
Sibling rivalry. It affects even the best of families.
Look, I came here to apologize.
Oh, yeah, for being such a jerk last night.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. You couldn't help yourself.
Listen, I told my mother I'd apologize, and I apologized. Let's leave it at that.
You know, I was thinking it over, and I know what your problem is.
You're my problem, Chucky.
Insecurity. That's what it is. You're just one big open wound.
What do I have to be insecure about?
Well, it's a known fact. Adopted kids are insecure.
How the hell did you know that?
Hey, Steve. Hey, I've known since we were seven. Everybody knew Steve. We're all supposed to keep it quiet till Samantha told you. I guess she finally broke the news, huh? I wonder what took her so long. You know, Steve.
I have a lot of feelings about what happened there.
Same. My first feeling is, what a good friend Brandon is.
Oh,
he
yeah.
had his tape recorder going when he was interviewing Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve came up, at one point he started reaching over and the camera showed him about to stop the tape recorder, but
he
backs
didn't.
Off like, no, I think we're going to want to have this. So that whole thing, Brandon had recorded
on tape
of Chucky just
provoking
Steve. Provoking, that's the perfect word.
Yes, thank that's you. Exactly what he's doing. He's trying to get Steve to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
He's bullying him.
And that's what happened when they were kids. So Brandon is such a good friend. And when at first, when Steve starts to stand up, when he says something about him being adopted, Brandon stands up and puts his hand up, like tries to stop him, like, dude, don't do this kind of yeah. attitude. And then realizes that
There's no stopping Steve,
and Chucky deserves to be punched.
He deserves to be punched in the face.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Steve does.
Yeah.
And what I really get from this interaction is less of... They do not give the impression that they are kids who've grown up acting like brothers their whole life.
No.
They give off the impression of two kids who were forced to be at every social gathering ever, and one of them has power.
Yes, when most definitely.
When a kid has power, for some reason or another, they use that.
Yep.
And Chucky has used that his entire life to bully Steve. Steve for is sure. his personal punching bag.
It's sad, but true.
Because he gets to call Samantha mom, and then he also gets to bully Steve, and no one's going to yell at him for it because he's Chucky.
He's the star of the show.
He's the star.
Now, what I would like to know about this,
mm-hmm.
he calls out the fact that he was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that says, oh, so she's finally told you. Did he think that maybe there was a chance he didn't know yet?
What if Steve hadn't known yet?
Yeah.
What if that was Chucky just saying something and then he was going to be like, wait, what are you talking about?
I think that's what Chucky wanted.
I think he wanted to be the one to break the news to Steve mm-hmm. because he knew that it would make him mad.
That really upsets me.
Yeah, it absolutely upsets me. And then what happens afterwards upsets me even more.
Yep.
So they obviously get pulled into the principal's office because sure. they were fighting. And there were people around and it was like, whoa, there was a fight. And they're sitting on these chairs and Chucky's kind of like checking out his bruise. And Steve's got one sleeve ripped. Like he's you know, got into the tussle as well.
Of course.
Yeah, I think... Chucky probably threw a couple punches of his own.
Tried to, at least. But Steve is a little bit bigger than him.
Steve's a little bit bigger than Chucky. But then Steve is sitting there, trying his best to ignore Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
But Chucky is continuing to talk to him and say that, like, oh, this isn't going to look good on camera. You know, you better feel sorry about this.
And he's even saying that, you know, if my parents find out that I started something like this, I'm going to get in trouble. They told me if I keep acting up, I'm not going to be allowed to work anymore, which means your mom's reunion isn't going to happen.
And he literally tells Steve, unless you take the rap for this fight, then I'm not doing your mom's show.
Yep. And Steve's like, are you blackmailing me?
And Chucky goes, actually, yeah, I am.
He flat out admits he's blackmailing him. But Steve loves his mom so much.
And he's such a suffer in silence as long mm-hmm. as he takes the brunt of it kind of person.
He will. He's a protector.
He is.
We were just talking about that a couple weeks ago.
We were.
It was the same episode at the party.
At the party, yeah.
At the seedy club.
At the club. When, Exchange an egg.
Yes. When Kelly wanted Steve there, not as a boyfriend, but as her protector, her
because
muscle.
He's a wall of muscle.
And Steve... He loves his friends and family so much. He does want to be a protector.
He does. He wants to be able to be the one, if someone is going to get hurt in any situation, whether it be emotionally or physically, yep. he wants to be the one to get hurt rather than anybody he cares about.
Absolutely. So he does take the rap and he gets...
Suspended.
Suspended from school.
Right before finals.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't... I don't remember if they really touch on that the rest of the episode.
They didn't.
But
no.
If Steve missed... his finals, there's a chance that he'll get an incomplete for the whole semester.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have to redo a whole semester or go to summer school or something.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that'll come up later on.
I have a feeling that's going to have to come up again.
It's going to have to, yeah. Brandon is very upset that Steve won't just let him. He tells him, I have the recorded proof. Let's use it. And Steve won't. He's like, no, I won't. And Brandon seems upset at that and kind of confused, yeah. like, what?
Why? And he asks him, he's like, why are you doing this? Why aren't you standing up for yourself? And he just says, take care, Brandon. And he just walks off.
Yeah.
He just leaves. He doesn't even tell Brandon what's going on.
Mm-mm. Which is a big deal for
him. A big teller for Steve.
So then later on at Steve's house, he's there waiting for his mom to get home. His mom comes in completely dolled up. And
I love her dress, by the way.
It was gorgeous.
So cute.
Yeah.
It was like that, like, toot right to the knee, like, kind of poofy, like, 50s style, kind very, of spinny dress. Very
50s dress.
It was very 50s. I loved it.
Yeah. And he tells her that he wants to talk, and she's basically, like, it's not a convenient time, kind of tries to, like, brush him off.
Well, because she literally comes in saying, like, oh, I have food in the fridge. You can just reheat it. I'll probably be home late.
Yeah.
I think she says, I won't be home too late. And he's like, wait, you're going somewhere. I need to talk to you. I need you.
And she's like, no, I gotta go do this.
And
he just kind of blurts out with it, I got suspended from school.
And she's like, what? Why are you telling me this now? Everyone is waiting for me at this restaurant to do this big meeting thing.
And he tells her that it's because he got in a fight with Chucky.
He almost is kind of smiling about it. He's like, I punched out Chuck Wilson today.
He did have this look like he was really proud of himself in that moment. But she is mad at him.
She starts ripping into him for it. And he says, he basically calls her out like, you just don't understand. Ask Chucky. If it wasn't for what I did, this show wouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. He'll do the show, I promise.
Yep.
He tells her, because she's still like, Chucky's not going to want to do the show. He's still, you know, being hesitant. And mm-hmm. then he's like, oh, he'll do it.
Yeah, trust me, he'll
just
do it.
Just ask him. But he doesn't tell her any more than that.
So then at school the next day, Kelly thinks that fight is because Steve was jealous of Chuck going to the dance with her.
I can see why she thought that.
Yes, because Steve is doing such a good job of keeping it hush-hush, the real reason why.
Yeah, because he doesn't want Chuck to mess up his mom's chance at this reunion show.
And from what Kelly saw, that's a reasonable understanding of the situation.
I can definitely understand why she thought that, but I also wish that she had at least asked Steve about it before assuming that that's what it was.
But Steve wasn't at school.
Yeah.
How was she supposed to ask him about it?
That's fair.
He was suspended. So then we see in the Blaze, Brandon is refusing to do the story. He's telling Andrea, like, no. I after what I just saw, no. He gives Andrea's notes and says, do what you want, but I'm not doing the story.
She asks him, like, she keeps pestering him and this other kid who wanted to run the puff piece. Griffin, John, whatever his name is. That he keeps trying to bug him and about the real reason why they started fighting. Because that could be really good for the story. And he says to Andrea one last time, I'm not going to jeopardize my friendship for a story.
Absolutely. Which I thought was a very stand-up thing to do for Brandon. Yes,
I think it was a very important distinction that he made to Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm not going to jeopardize my friendship for this story.
Yep.
It's not worth it.
I think that made Andrea stop and think, because she was ready to just be like, no, we need to do this. We need to do this.
This is the story we're doing.
But I think when she stopped and thought about it,
she realized, I think this may be a bit more gossipy than I thought it was.
Yeah. So now we see in Steve's room, he's watching the TV show, watching reruns. Chucky, reruns of it. Chucky's, you know, asking mom in the show, where did I come from? And mom gives us corny,
like, daddy and I loved each other and that love made a whole new person and that person was you.
And then Steve kind of falls asleep watching it and he dreams that he isn't his 17-year-old self. Asks his mom in the TV, and she's very clinical with her answer. Not all lovey-dovey like she was with Chucky.
No, and her first answer is basically the last thing that she said to Chucky, of like, oh, Philadelphia. And, like, she starts talking about all the technicals, you know, how a baby is made.
Yeah, of just like very clinical.
Very like, clinical. Ooh. And then he asks her, well, what about the love part? And he kind of, you know, recites back the canned line.
And then 17-year-old Chucky sits down next to mom in the TV episode.
That's how they got me, not you, Steve-o.
And then the mom looks at him in Dream TV mom, looks at him and says something like,
Oh, we got you from the baby store.
I'm like, ouch.
And then his 17-year-old self on the TV gets up and starts talking to him sitting on his bed.
The sleeping version of him that was dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dream Him tells him to go find his real parents.
Because, you know, at this point, you're just an ornament. You're just a decoration, a piece of the set.
That was a really, really key way to phrase it. As soon as Dream Him told him, you're just an ornament.
A part of the set.
That's all I could think of every time when his mom called him gorgeous from that point on. I was like, you're right. You do just think of him as an ornament. I think I actually used that phrase, called him an ornament, at the beginning of a recording. I was referencing this moment in the episode, apparently.
Because this is how Steve feels like his mom treats him. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him.
I don't either. Poor guy. But he wakes up from this dream like, whoa. And then the next time we see them is the next morning. Steve is sitting at the table, the breakfast table, depressed. Samantha comes in an excessively cheery mood.
While they come and sit at the breakfast table, but there's a third person here.
And we do hear her voice in this a little bit.
You do. Her name is Jean. I think she's some sort of like a household...
help of some kind?
Some kind of help. And they make a very pointed way of showing it, I think. Mm-hmm. They don't mention it at all. No. But I think it definitely plays into Steve's previous racial prejudice.
We've seen that multiple times over the series so
far. And we kind of talked about how it's probably nothing that it's just from in his environment, something he's learned. And that reason probably is because their help is this black woman named Jean.
Who wears, like, the solid white
like outfit, maid's outfit.
Like, very much an old-fashioned maid's outfit.
Which is a little dated for the 90s.
It was already dated then.
Yeah. And so to have that picture pop up of, like, this very blonde white woman, blonde teenage boy, and then the black woman in the background doing all the dishes and stuff.
And offering to cook them food.
Yeah, which I was like, oh, interesting.
That was such a subtle way to tell a lot about their lifestyle.
Yes, and about why Steve has had these prejudices mm-hmm. previously, which have been getting fixed slowly by the Walshes.
Thank you, Walsh family.
But it's interesting seeing... We've seen the breakfast time at the Walshes many times, but mm-hmm. now seeing what breakfast is at the Sanders house.
Very different.
Very different.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. You sound awfully cheerful this morning. Care for some eggs?
No, thanks, Jean. Today I start my diet. Camera adds 10 pounds and I want to be ready for it. Oh, today is one of those good days. One you want to remember and enjoy. Come on, gorgeous. Give me one of those $1 million smiles.
You don't have anything to smile about.
Oh, you will. A surprise for you.
What?
If I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
What's this?
Well, it's your new car, silly. Now do I get a smile? Or maybe just a good old-fashioned, thanks, Mom?
What's this all about?
You were right. Chucky finally agreed to do the reunion show, and he said that you had something to do with it. So, thanks, gorgeous.
Can't believe what I'm hearing. But then sensitivity never was your strong suit. If it had been, you would have told me I was adopted before you broadcasted it to Chucky and the rest of the world.
What are you talking about?
You didn't tell me I was adopted till I was 16. Chucky says he's known since he was 7. He says everybody's known.
I didn't tell him, Steve.
If you didn't tell him, then who did?
I don't know. I swear, I don't know.
Well, at least now I know why I always felt like a second-class citizen around that creep.
He's not that bad, really.
Are you listening to what I'm saying here? He is that bad. He is. Do you know why I got suspended from school? Because he wouldn't do your lousy show unless I took the rap for the fight. And this is my commission, huh?
No, Steve, that's not true.
It is, too. And I don't want this. You know, maybe when you adopted me, you thought motherhood was some role you could play. Well, it isn't. I'm real. And I'm gonna find my real parents.
Oh, my God, is that what this is all about? Steve, I know I wasn't a perfect mother, but I did the best I could. I love you. For God's sake, I chose you.
There's a lot about that clip that just...
There's a lot to unpack.
Oh my goodness.
Starting with her essentially trying to, once again, sweep under the rug all of the poor treatment that he's suffered mm-hmm. from this kid.
She's trying to buy his love. Yeah. Here's a brand new Corvette with a gigantic bow on it.
Thanks for helping me, you know, get this deal. But she doesn't, she didn't even figure out the real reason
why. She wouldn't listen to him.
She wouldn't listen to him. And Chucky's answer is so much, you can tell he told that to Samantha to continue torturing Steve about it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, so Steve sad. Convinced me.
Yep.
Oh, really? Steve convinced you. And also, towards the end there, when they start going into the stuff about Steve being adopted,
mm-hmm.
and how Chucky knows, and how he's known since he was 7.
But apparently she didn't tell him.
She didn't tell him.
And that's kind of like, oh.
Well, then who did tell Chucky?
She doesn't seem to know.
No. And also, once again, I feel like 16 is a little late in a person's life to tell them they're adopted.
Yeah, that's rough.
I feel like at that point, either wait until they're 18.
Just don't ever tell them unless there's a medical emergency.
Yeah. Or tell them sooner.
Yeah, wait until 16. 16's a rough age.
16's a rough age as is. And then yeah. finding out you're adopted when so much of Steve's identity
mm-hmm.
has to do with being Samantha Sanders' son. In this yep. world, being a celebrity's son is a big deal. That's his status.
Now, the one thing, the only time she uses his name in the entire episode is in this fight.
When he's starting to almost call her out. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, like, responding for himself.
Yeah.
And she doesn't...
She calls him Steve, finally, instead of just, hey, gorgeous. At the beginning of the clip, she's still calling him gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, that's his name. I'm like, no.
Mm.
Like, precious? No.
Nope.
He's not a stripper.
No, he's not.
His name is not gorgeous.
It is not. But she calls him Steve in the heat of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only time.
Yeah.
Which seems odd to me.
But I also think that it was good that Steve unleashed his emotions on her. She needed to hear that.
She needed to hear
it. She needed to hear what he's been through. I don't think she knew. And see, that's the thing about narcissistic bullies. They know how to make it seem like it's never their fault.
Like it's never their fault to everybody else around. But you know. And mm-hmm. you know that if you tell anybody, it's just going to get worse.
And because no one's going to believe you. And we've seen that happen with just his mom even. This woman, I really do believe she loves him.
Yes.
And she cares for him very, very much.
She's just not very attentive.
No. She's been a single mom since he was 5.
And she's been in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm. It's a different lifestyle.
It's a very different lifestyle. And so I loved when he got to tell her after, she's like, he's not that bad. And he's saying, yes, he is. To me, he is.
I'm glad that he stood up for himself.
I'm glad because...
It's sending Steve on a whole new life journey and a new life path.
Yeah.
That's going to be quite interesting.
Yes.
Well, Hannibal, I see these pretzel crisps and we have hummus next to us. Probably. And I really want to eat a few of them, but they're going to get loud. Oh, yeah. So let's take our break so I can munch a few of those down.
Yes.
And we'll be right back.
We'll be right back, guys.
All right, we are back from break.
We're back.
We had some popcorn. We had some pretzel crisps and hummus.
Yes, we have snacked. We freshened up our beverages.
Yes.
And we're ready to go.
Hannibal brushed the dog for me while I was making popcorn.
She is so hairy.
So I was making popcorn on the stove because, well, that's the best popcorn around.
Yeah.
And it takes a little time, though. But so I was standing there waiting for the oil to heat up on the stove. And Molly, the hairy beast, comes in to see me. You could just see the heat makes her shed.
Because she's part border collie.
The heat has been so bad lately. Mm. She had like chunks of fur look like they're coming off of her hind end. So I was like, Hannah, get her brush.
So I rolled up my sleeves and I had to get down on the floor. And our dog is weird and she likes a human, one of those little small travel brushes.
Yeah, she hates dog brushes.
She hates dog brushes.
We accidentally found out that she likes the human brush because I was trying to brush her one time and she was just not having it. She would practically bite my hand like, no, get away from me, mother. And Abigail had been home and she had left her little purse brush is what she called it.
Ah.
Sitting there.
Everyone has a purse brush.
And I just for some reason said, fine, I'll try this. And I was just thinking, I'll probably have to, like, barely touch it to Molly. I'll have to go wash it because Abigail will freak out. And I started brushing Molly's and she started sniffing at it and she could tell it smelled like Abigail.
Mm.
And she just laid there and let me brush her. Here we are months and months and months later. I can grab that brush and she's just like, yeah.
It no longer probably smells like Abigail.
No.
But
I bought Abigail a new brush. Don't worry.
So Molly let me use that brush.
Oh, yeah. She'll let you. She doesn't want you to stop. She will not be like, okay, I've had enough.
No, she was pawing at me every time I had to empty it out because she was like, don't stop. I'm not done with you brushing me yet.
Yeah, she now really I'm likes
kind of covered in dog hair.
You really are. It's funny.
I very much am. My cat is going to be so confused when I get home. Because, like, sometimes my hands will kind of smell like dog.
Yeah.
And now all of me is going to smell like dog.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, you have betrayed my trust. She's going to be mad.
She'll get over it.
Yeah, she will. She'll get over it in about 20 minutes.
Get over it, Necco.
Yeah.
So before we get actually back to the episode here, we want to let everybody know our email address. So in case there's ever anything that we got wrong or that you want to comment on, welcome to drop us an email. backtothepeachpit@gmail.com. Again, that's the number two.
Not the word.
Yep. So backtothepeachpit@gmail.com.
Yes. And we also do have a Patreon if you guys ever felt willing or wanting to support us monetarily. We don't necessarily ask for it, but if you would like to, it's there.
The awesome thing is, if you don't, we're still going to keep doing this.
Yes.
It's still going to be free. We will never charge for our podcast.
Nope.
That is never anything we want to do. We do this podcast because we love it. This is fun for us. It's mother-daughter time.
Yes. And I actually genuinely do love watching through this show and then getting to talk about it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But we also understand that as people get more into it, and we do this throughout the years, there's going to come times that we're going to have to upgrade our equipment, our microphones.
Yep.
They're doing great for now. I'm really excited with the quality we're able to produce at this point.
We've got a pretty good setup right now.
We do. But the day will come, it's going to start falling apart, I fear.
At some point.
So, if anybody feels so inclined, you can either go to Patreon. I think it's patreon.com/backtothepeachpit. Again, number two, not the word two.
Yep.
Or in the show notes down below the information of the podcast, there's also a link for listener support and Anchor.
Yes.
Because Anchor does something that's similar to Patreon where you can donate to help out podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We have it both ways, whatever works for people if they choose to. If you choose not to, that's cool. We're still here either way.
Yeah. We'll still have fun doing this and we'll still have fun seeing all of you guys listen to us.
Yeah. But we definitely won't turn it down if anybody wants to toss out a little help.
Definitely won't turn that down.
Nope. Okay, actually, I want to throw out one more quick thing before we get into it.
One more quick thing. As we're a few minutes in.
Okay, so we like to talk. I'm sure everybody has figured that up now. The people who come back week after week, they have figured out we like to talk.
We tend to ramble.
What? No.
So one last thing.
One last thing before we really get back to the episode.
Yes.
Over mostly this season especially, we have thrown out quite a few times now things about other shows or movies and such that we really, really are into.
Yes.
I think it'd be really cool if anybody out there has gone and checked out any of these shows, like, what are they talking about, and watched it, let us know.
That would be really cool.
You have, at the beginning of the episode, all the social media ways to contact us, our blog even, you can contact us there. Just at the beginning of the second half, we told you how to contact us on our email address, on Patreon, on Anchor. You can even leave us a voicemail on Anchor. We have, like, so many ways you could reach out to us. If you've tried to watch any of those shows, because we've mentioned quite a few. Let's see.
Dawson's Creek. We've mentioned The Chosen. We've mentioned now A Very Potter Musical. We've mentioned Hamilton. We've mentioned Disney in general. We've mentioned a lot of things.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yes. So if there's any of these shows that either you're really into or you'd never heard of and went and gave it a try, and let us know what you guys think of it, especially if it's one that you hadn't ever heard of and you went and tried for the first time.
Please, based on our
suggestions. If you watch A Very Potter Musical
or A Very Potter Sequel, please let me know because they are amazing and I need more people to talk to about them.
That's how I feel with Chosen and Hamilton. If you have watched The Chosen, or you have watched Hamilton. I need more people to be on my side of the world with this, because I am all about The Chosen and Hamilton and 90210, obviously.
Obviously.
Speaking of,
let's get back to the episode.
Yes, ma'am, let's do it.
Where we last left off was with Steve and his mom kind of fighting over this new Corvette.
Yeah, she bought him a brand new Corvette. Yes. Because his other one was apparently getting old and worn out.
Apparently.
What the heck, woman?
Rich people problems.
Right.
What's funny, though, is that Steve doesn't act like rich kid hardly at all anymore.
He doesn't.
Since hanging out more with the group, and especially with the Walshes,
yeah,
he does not act like the same Steve as season one.
Jim and Cindy have been amazing for this group of kids. Can see that in their character development. They did such a good job of writing in there that Jim and Cindy Walsh have brought some more level-headed down-to-earthness.
Yes.
To this group of kids.
Because this group of kids especially grew up in a very, very different world than most of us are used to.
Look at Steve's house, for goodness sakes.
Everything in his house, it's just
immaculate and magnificent and gigantic.
And designer. It's like fancy. He lives in a mansion.
Yeah.
And then
as
he goes,
we sit here in what would be considered a ranch-style house on, for city life, a good-sized piece of property.
Yeah.
We're not fancy people.
No, we're not fancy at all. And neither are the Walshes. And yet Steve spends a lot of dinners and a lot of hanging out time at the Walshes.
Do you know why?
Because he doesn't want to be in a big empty house all by himself, probably.
That too, but also it's home.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that, I don't remember who it was that said it to me many, many years ago. We've had a lot of parties and friends and groups and church groups and Bible studies that we've hosted at our house over the years. Every single time. It doesn't matter how spotless the rest of the house is, how many chairs I have set up, we will end up with gatherings of people just standing around the kitchen.
Yeah. And kind of overflowing into the dining room.
Yep. And there were times when we were living in Arizona, I would ask your dad, I'm like, why is everybody congregating in the kitchen? It's just so cramped in here. And there was somebody who was still over one time. I don't think it was your dad that said this, but somebody else said, because a lot of these people, their homes, their kitchen isn't where food is made. It's just where food is served.
Right.
And the love that's made with the food there. People can feel that, and they're coming into the kitchen because this just feels like a loving environment. Yeah. And this is where we get together to make the food. And
where we see the most of the Walsh house.
In the kitchen.
We see a lot of their kitchen.
And it's that same feeling. To this day, I mean, that's one of the things that drew me to this house we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
When we bought it, we moved here 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I fell in love with this house because it flows this big open space from kitchen to the little nook area to the dining room to the living room. It's all one huge open zone.
That's what I've told Tyler as we're kind of moving forward with phases of life and we're going to be, you know, moving into starting to look at houses and getting a house of our own someday. I've told him that one of my big things is I'm like, I want a kitchen that I can host people in.
Yes. The kitchen is the place where love is found in a home.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, think of any home that, like, your the house that all of your friends went and gathered to when you were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the house where mom was, like, bustling about the kitchen, usually.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We still find that today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have friends over, and suddenly I'm like, I'm in the kitchen throwing together food because
so was everybody
I
else.
Love to cook. And suddenly it's like, everybody's in the kitchen together. I'm like, let's party it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I love that that's kind of become prevalent in these kids' lives in 90210, is that the more time they spend with the Walshes, the less time it seems that they spend at their own homes. Yeah.
Okay, so now picking up after we saw where that was at, we see the Walsh's house, and it's during the school hours, and Steve rings the doorbell.
And Cindy answers the door. She's the only one home.
He just comes just to talk to her.
Yeah.
How sweet is that?
That's so cute. And, like, he shows up, and they're like, she's asking, shouldn't you be in school? And
he's like, I got suspended.
Well, he's very sheepish, actually, about it.
Yeah.
Whereas with his mom, he was just kind of plainly telling her, like, yeah, I got suspended from school today. With Cindy, he's like, didn't they tell you I got suspended from school? He's almost embarrassed to tell her, it seems like.
But she just seems like, oh, come on in.
Come on in. Yeah, doesn't even question it.
Nope, doesn't question why, doesn't, you know, she's just, you can tell that moment, Cindy has that, Steve needs me.
Yep.
He's coming here because he knows I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And he's coming to talk to Cindy, not any Cindy, other Walsh.
Mom to all.
Mom to all, yes. And so he dives into this, like, she sits him down at the kitchen table. And,
of course, because what else do you do?
Absolutely. And she sits down and he starts diving into this, like, hypothetical, like, what if Brandon hypothetically were adopted mm-hmm. and they came to you and wanted to meet their real parents?
How would you feel?
And you can see her kind of pause and go, okay.
So Steve's adopted.
The buffering.
You can just see the mind rolling.
Okay, so Steve's adopted and he's trying to figure out how to talk to his mom about it. Cool. I can handle this. And I love that she immediately starts using natural parents
yes.
instead of the words real parents.
Yes. And that, because that's what he'd used, is if they wanted to find their real mom.
And she tells him that, you know, if they wanted to find their natural parents, I probably wouldn't be mad or anything. I would just be scared because I wouldn't want to lose them. I'd be afraid of that. And then she
exactly what he needed to hear right then.
It's exactly what he needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And she even kind of asks, like, what if the natural parents don't want to be found? What if that situation happens? And they kind of don't address that in that moment.
No, it was good, but it's kind of planted the idea in Steve, like,
think about this.
This is a possibility.
Be warned of this.
Yeah.
Before you enter this mission, this, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to find your birth parents, be prepared for the fact that they may not want to be found and they may not be happy to be found.
Yeah. So then we move over to school. And David and Donna are talking about the dance, and the group is watching them.
And by the group, it's like Kelly and Chuck, and then it's just Dylan and Brenda.
Yes. And they're just kind of watching them like, what is going on over here? And Dylan's like, he's a nice kid. And they were talking about, you know, how
I don't know what he's
fashionable to go for an older woman.
Oh, yeah, talking about, like, I think Chuck Cher? Mentioned Cher.
Yeah.
But especially Kelly was like, I don't know what she sees in him. And that's when Dylan is defending David. And I'm like,
so glad Dylan defended David. That made me happy.
Because I think it's also showing that Dylan has fully accepted David into the group.
Yep. David is part of the group. Deal with it.
I mean, a few weeks ago, he was holding his head back so he wouldn't die.
Oh my goodness sakes.
And now he's like, he's a good kid.
Oh, that's funny.
It's adorable.
So then Brandon comes up to Kelly and pulls her aside to talk. He's like, we need to talk alone. And so he pulls her away from Chuck. And he tells her the truth about the fight.
And what it really was about.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her, because at first he kind of asks, like, do you know why they fought? And she tries to tell what she thought the situation mm-hmm. was. And then he makes it clear, no.
No, it had nothing to do with you.
You know how Steve is sensitive about the fact that he's adopted? And she's just like, yeah. And he tells her that Chuck was kind of pestering him about it and kind of bothering him and teasing him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, provoked him into fighting him.
Kelly did not like that.
She's
like, I don't know. What do I do?
And even Brandon kind of just goes, I don't know.
You need to think about it. He just kind of leaves it up to her.
Yeah. He wants her to know the truth, but then he wants her to make her own decision based on that.
I was really glad he did it that way. It was
very
well done.
Yeah. Because in all honesty, what is the right decision in that situation?
I guess we'll find out, won't we? Because I think Kelly did make the right decision.
I think she did.
And we'll find out.
Yes.
So they switched over to the old Hartley House soundstage where the set is. And that's where this clip picks up. And in this scene, the voices are here. Little Chucky is there.
Little Chucky.
And their agent.
Norman.
The same agent for both he and Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samantha joins in the conversation.
Yes.
Call me sentimental, but I figured the old soundstage was the perfect place to sign the deal memo. I heard the producers kept the set on mothballs all these years. Too bad you can't do the same thing for the cast, huh?
Serving champagne to a minor,
it's only apple juice, Mom. pull up a glass. Let's just tell Norman how good he is.
Yes, Norman. You are the best agent in town.
I know.
But you know who should really be here? Steve. After all, he's the one who finally got you to do the show.
You're right. To Steve.
What did he say exactly that was so convincing?
Oh, nothing specific. Steve's a great kid, Samantha.
What happened to the two of you anyway? You know how I hate to see you fight.
Well, you know Steve. He's just Mr. Sensitive.
Well, about some things. How did you know that he was adopted, Charles?
Everybody knew.
No, as a matter of fact, everybody didn't know.
I told him, Sam, okay? A long time ago.
You told him? Why?
Well, you know how the two of them were always fighting, and they were little boys. One day, Chucky was jealous of Steve. I thought it would make him feel better.
You betrayed my trust so you could make a little spoiled brat feel better?
Hey, lady, it was this spoiled little brat that kept you on the air. Besides, I did this for you. I know how important this show is to you.
Not more important than my son.
Samantha, this is all just a misunderstanding.
No. I understand everything quite clearly. I've put up with this for far too long. I've had enough.
Where are you going?
I'm not doing this show for
you. You can't just back out now.
Oh, no.
You made a deal.
Watch me.
I love her in this moment.
Me too.
It's kind of like when we got to see Jackie finally standing up for herself uh-huh. and finally being a good parent. You hear the quick turnaround in Chuck's behavior.
Oh, yeah. The very beginning. Hi, Mom.
Mom, what are you doing here? And saying hi and being all pleasant. And then suddenly it's, hey, lady, I'm the one who kept you on the air for all those years.
It shows how fake that mom lovey-dovey stuff was with him.
It's extremely fake.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that she clarifies, you know, I did this for you. I know how important this is for you. So I think on some level, Chuck actually does care for Sam, for Samantha. I think, at least in a sort of motherly way, because he was a little kid when he knew her. And kids get attached to adults pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But then this is his only way of showing affection. And so he doesn't know any other way except to be a brat. Ugh. To be a child star brat.
Yeah. Sad but true.
And so when she makes it clear, nothing is more important than my son.
Yeah. Ouch.
Ooh.
That was the dagger that that little brat needed.
Oh, yeah. To know that no matter what he does, he will never be more important to this woman than Steve.
Yeah.
He will never be able to one-up Steve in that field.
Speaking of Steve. He's at the Peach Pit.
They're playing Silent Night.
And it's like a really sad sounding version of Silent Night.
And well,
like,
it's
melancholy.
Also
melancholy.
It feels sad and melancholy also because there's like three people in the Peach Pit.
Including Nat and Steve.
Yeah. There's like one other homeless looking dude sitting at the table.
It. No one else is in the Peach Pit at this point. It's the middle of the day. It's supposed to be the kids are in school.
So Steve is in, like, the corner booth,
mm-hmm.
and he's playing some sort of, like, handheld game system.
It looks like an old-fashioned Game Boy.
It looked like an old-fashioned
like
Game Boy.
Like the old Game Boys.
But he's literally just, like, slouched down. He looks dejected.
It's so
like,
sad.
Like, props to Ian Ziering for his acting in this.
Bravo,
because we normally see Steve as this very kind of, like, boisterous, loud, confident kind of jock. But now we see him, and he looks so much younger and so much, yeah.
Yep. So I just did a quick look up of what Game Boy looked like in 1991.
Yeah, it definitely
That's exactly what he was playing. They were very careful not to show the whole thing.
But you just see the top part of
enough
the gray
to,
thing.
If you recognize it, you're like, that's
And you hear
Game
the,
Boy.
The pinging of a game going.
Yeah.
And Nat kind of comes
Sorry
up.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's all good. And so he's looking so dejected sitting in this corner here. And Nat kind of comes up to him like, hey, man, how's it going?
You're here. Nat's trying to cheer him up.
You're here in the middle of the day. Are you supposed to be in school? And Steve's like, oh, it's a long story.
And then Steve asks Nat, do you look more like your mom or your dad? And Nat's like, my mom. How about you? It seems like that's the thing.
I don't know.
The look on Nat's face is like...
You see like three emotions go across his face of, huh? Then, oh.
Yeah, you can just see...
And then he looks...
Great job with
Nat looks over because someone else walks in and it's Dylan.
It's Dylan.
His face... Nat's face went, Dylan, I need you.
Thank you. Save me. Save him.
Save him. Cheer this guy up. He's on his third piece of pie and nothing's working.
Yeah. I thought it was really cute. And so at this point, Steve tells Dylan that he's adopted.
I've never told you this, but...
Yeah. And he kind of wants to find his birth mom.
Yeah.
And Dylan, of all people, is the perfect person to talk him through this. Not only is Dylan the dad friend of the group.
Yes.
He's incredibly level-headed. He thinks of things in an out-of-the-box kind of way.
Yes. But he's also been in a similar situation to this before, very recently.
Because he doesn't know his mom very well.
No.
But suddenly had to get to know his mom and had to navigate that situation.
He kind of wanted a relationship with her, but then it wasn't really fitting anymore. So he was
able to give some really good advice to Steve.
And his advice basically was, you can't just plan on having a relationship with this woman that you don't know just because she gave birth to you. It just may not work, man, is essentially the conversation he gives Steve.
And it's like, yeah, you can try it, but be prepared just to come back. Your mom, Samantha Sanders, has been there for you.
And that's got to count for something. She may not have given birth to you, but she was still there for you. So Steve has now gotten advice from Cindy, Nat, and Dylan.
All basically saying the same thing.
Basically saying, do what you need to do, but be prepared for whatever may happen.
So then back at Steve's house, he comes home and his mom is sitting there crying. She had been crying for a while, it looked like. She apologizes to him. She tells him, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know how bad he was to you.
I'm sorry. I made you be nice to that little, can I say?
Okay, we're saying this as a quote from the show, because it is a quote from the show.
Yes.
Even though it's a quote-unquote bad word. We're going to say it anyways.
Quote. But she tells him, I made you be nice to that little bastard for all those years, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Steve starts crying, and he hugs
her. They hug. Oh, so sweet.
And he tells her, I love you, Mom. And it's super sweet.
But he does tell her, I need to do this. I need to find out where I came from, who I am.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. Especially finding that out at an age where people are generally trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
At 16, 17. Now finding out that there's these whole other people out there that he's connected to, even in that minor way, it's still a connection.
So she tells him that the only thing she does know is that his mom's name was Karen Brown. She was very young. And she lived in a little town outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And he was born in Albuquerque.
Yeah. And so he says that, you know, he's going to have to go find her. And so he's basically telling her goodbye. I'm going to go find her.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that feeling like, you'll be back, right, Steve? But they leave it open-ended. You don't really know.
Yeah. He kind of is leaving, and it feels very much like this very weighty goodbye.
Yeah.
And I think because on that kind of a trip, on that kind of a discovering who you are kind of trip, he's gonna come back different. So the person that he is now, it's almost like they're all saying goodbye. They'll end up saying goodbye to this person because he's gonna be a little different somehow.
So let's get a little bit of a cheery moment here.
Yes.
Over at the dance, Dave and Donna arrive. She's driving because he doesn't have his license yet.
Yes.
He's kind of acting like he thinks it's a date, but in the car, she's kind of like...
Well, we're not together.
We're not together. We're just going to the dance together.
He looks crushed when she says it.
Oh my goodness.
He's like, but he also is like so chill and so understanding, like, yep, I get it. Let's just go inside and let's get this over with.
And then she stops. Wait, David. I'm proud to be here at the dance with the best dancer at West Beverly.
And he, like, smiles really big. And then he goes in for a kiss.
So does she. She leans in for the kiss, too.
For about 2 solid seconds.
And their lips barely touch as she backs away. Like, wait, no.
Wait, David.
And she stops it.
And he's immediately apologetic. Like, I'm so sorry.
And you can tell he's like, that dude moment, like, I misread the situation. And so he's like, okay, we're just going to go in as friends. We're going to dance.
Cool. It's totally fine.
Like, so we see them go inside and they start dancing.
Yes.
And then it goes, the scene changes and it goes over back to Steve.
Yes.
And so we just see, okay, David and Donna are dancing.
Yes. And they do notice that Chuck is there.
But they don't see Kelly.
They don't see Kelly. She can't find her.
Well, we see her shortly. She shows up at Steve's house. And he's like, aren't you supposed to be at the dance with Chuck? She's like,
I stood him up
after what he did to you.
It was the best way I could think of to get even.
I was so proud of her. Like, that is the best way.
That's pretty good.
So after her talk with Brandon, she could have confronted him and given him a chance to try to weasel his way out. But she's like, no, just going to stand him up.
Just straight up just didn't show.
So proud of her. But she was fully dolled up for the dance. So she tells Steve, let's go for a drive. He says, I got to gather a few things first.
And so I think then after he gathers a few things, because he very quickly is just like, yeah, let's go for a drive. I need to gather a few things first. And she's like,
all right.
Okay.
It's Steve. She kind of stops questioning, I think.
Yeah. But then I think he does explain to her because we...
He must.
So the way that they're in the car, they kind of are showing them, like they often do whenever people are in a car in the show, but it's all very much from the windshield,
yes.
Which is how they used to show people in a car in old movies. And Kelly's outfit, I know you were really mentioning...
Oh my goodness.
...her outfit.
I came up with, like, a phrase. I really had to work on this because it was the perfect way I could find to describe what mm-hmm. she looks like. Like, vintage Hollywood diva.
Yeah.
That, not like the ugly red, but like a really dark red lipstick.
Very bold. She's
perfectly bold on with her very pale skin. Mm-hmm. She has a scarf over her head and around her chin.
She has an updo in her hair.
Yeah.
And so the
scarf. And she's got this, like, jacket thing on over top of her mm-hmm. dress. That looks like that 1950s style look.
It's very old Hollywood
vibe.
Very
vintage. So beautiful.
Yeah. Like, she looks like she's about to go and say farewell to someone at an airport in an old black and white movie.
She looks like Audrey Hepburn.
She does. And it's very classy.
So classy. Good job. And whoever did the costuming for that.
For this whole show, honestly, deserves, like, a prize. Because
right,
it's always so good.
Beautiful costume. Especially this episode.
Especially in this one.
Which we will talk more about in our midterm in a couple weeks. We have some fun stuff for that.
Yes.
All right.
Back to
the now, not the future.
Yes.
So as they're driving along, he's telling her that he's got to do this. And he's getting a bus ticket and he's going to go to Albuquerque and he's going to find her.
Yep.
And she says, well, you need to go say goodbye to some people first.
There are some people who need to say goodbye.
So as we go back to the dance scene, we know that Kelly and Steve are on their way back there.
Yes.
We come in and Brenda and Dylan are dancing.
And it's adorable.
It's adorable. They're so cute.
The 12 Days of Christmas is on is yes. the song that's playing.
Which I think is really cool because it's such a recognizable song
mm-hmm.
that as it shows different points of the story, you can still hear the song playing.
And so
you know these things are all going on at the same time, basically.
Exactly. Like Donna and David walked in as that song was mm-hmm. beginning. And now it's like a couple verses in.
Yeah.
Which, if you know the 12 Days of Christmas...
It's a long song.
It's a long song.
Mm-hmm.
But everything takes place for this little while in this song.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool way to do the passage of time.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to listen to their adorable little conversation.
Aww.
I love Christmas.
Yes, especially Christmas break.
And you know what? This Christmas, you're going to be spending it with us.
Okay, but Brian, you got to promise me that your daddy's not going to dress up like Santa Claus.
That I can't promise.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. So he's going to be spending Christmas with them. And then he's like, just tell me your dad's not going to dress up as Santa. She's like, I can't promise that.
I can't do that.
So funny. So now I'm curious, next week, are we going to see Jim Walsh dressed up as Santa Claus?
I really hope we get to see Jim Walsh dressed up as Santa Claus. And a little bit after that, I think they show Andrea arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes over to the food table where Brandon is, not dancing.
Nope.
And he's standing there, And she asks him, like, so, do you want to dance?
He's like, I don't dance.
I don't dance.
Brandon can't dance. Brandon can't dance. Brandon cannot dance.
Do you drink punch?
It was so cute the way she said that. Do you drink punch? He's like, I do.
I do.
And then this cute little moment, they go get punch. And
they turn around and get punch. And,
but in the process, she also tells him, you were right. That story was complete gossip. I'm not going to run it.
And he seems to kind of relax a little bit.
Yes.
Knowing that he was able to convince her not to do this and to protect Steve's, honestly, protect his reputation.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So then we look over and we see David and Donna dancing.
David's going ham.
David is dancing in his Davidy way because he's such a great dancer. And he's just such, you can tell he does a different type of dance. He's very much not your typical high school dance. He's like hip-hop dancer to the extreme. Yeah,
he's not swaying or jumping up and down. He's dancing.
And then we see Steve and Kelly arrive. And they spot David and Donna dancing pretty quickly.
The dance floor has kind of cleared a little space for them because David's all over the place.
And the whole school just knows David's dancing. Just get out of his way, man.
Just get out of his way. He's going crazy.
Donna's loving it. She's totally into it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And the song ends, and she plants a kiss on him.
And not just a kiss. She, like, grabs him and yanks him down, and he's clearly like, not expecting it.
Nope, he's not complaining, but he's not expecting it.
Oh my goodness.
And so as they're kissing, towards the end of it, Steve says Steve. This.
I owe silver.
What is this, Steve, and the little funny little phrases
that
we keep saving these little moments of
Steve.
Yeah,
like his little catty thing a few years ago. His
hi-ho silver.
Hi-ho silver.
You're gonna be keeping the hi-ho silver. That was just too funny.
Oh, yeah. But then Donna, like, they're straight up, like, making out for 2 seconds.
And everybody's watching them like, oh, that's happening.
They kind of jump to all of the other bunches of the group, all kind of coupled off.
Dylan does say something like, you know, oh, if that's what a platonic friendship is, I can't wait to see what she's like when she gets physical.
Because Donna was, like, very, very much protesting earlier in the episode.
So adamantly, like, we're just friends.
We're just, like, platonic friends, you know? And now it's like, well, if that's platonic.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, making out with him in the middle of the dance floor. And then
she doesn't care who sees.
You kind of zoom into their faces a little bit closer now. And David's literally got his eyes wide open a little bit. Kind of
like, this is happening.
Like, this is happening. She's kissing me. This is happening.
And so Donna stops kissing him long enough to
look at the rest of the group.
Rest of the group, say something to them, and then go back to kissing him.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Okay? See, I like him. If any of you have a problem with that,
it's too bad.
I love her little, okay.
I love at the beginning when they're both like, wow. Wow.
Wow.
They both say wow at the beginning. Like, they're just so like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
This is the thing.
It's a thing. So it's not confirmed, because I think you can't really confirm anything in this show until the characters have stated it, because they'll always pull something out from the woodworks, like, from, oh yeah, back in, like, you know, 3 years ago, before the show actually started, they'll pull out random things sometimes.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that had to have been David's first kiss, right?
I think it was.
That had to be David's first kiss, other than, like, in the car, but, like, Donna's his first kiss.
I think so.
Which is so cute.
Because we haven't seen him. I mean, I guess he mentioned he talked like a middle school relationship one time.
And he's talked about, like, girls before, but I think
he's always been kind of that little loser chasing girls.
I think he's been such a dweeb that he hasn't ever actually been with one.
He's never actually had a girl go, all right, sure, I'll pay attention to this.
Right.
No, they just roll their eyes and walk away.
So I think Donna is David's first kiss.
I think so.
And they're like a thing now.
I think he may be her first kiss too.
No, Donna's been with guys before.
Has she?
She's talked about.
She's not been with.
She hasn't?
No.
She's talked about it.
if you notice, every time she's talked about being with, you know, having sex.
And like, dating guys.
Dating guys. Every time she's talked about having sex, it's always been like that, oh, like, if I knew, kind of attitude.
Really?
And then Kelly's even said something like, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, they're both virgins.
Oh.
That actually comes into play.
Oh, little adorable. Cuties.
Yep, they're super cute.
Oh, so David and Donna are a thing now.
Yep, Hannah's ship has fully set sail.
Yes!
I have struggled for a season and a half now because David and Donna are my ultimate OTP.
Yes. For those of you who don't know what OTP is, it's one true pairing.
Yeah. Do you know how hard it's been this entire time we've been making this podcast to not be constantly David and Donna, David and Donna, David and Donna, David and Donna?
Because they just flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't know David and Donna were David and Donna yet. But now you know David and Donna are David and Donna.
Yes. And their names just...
Right? It's not just David.
It's not just Donna.
It's David and Donna.
David and Donna.
All right, so back to the drama here.
Back to the drama.
Chucky notices Steve there, and he comes over to confront Kelly because she's there with Steve. You stood me up, and...
We had a date.
And she's like, oh, okay, okay.
I don't go out on dates with people who are mean to my friends.
And Chucky tells Steve, you know, why are you even here? You got, you know, you're suspended or something like that. And then we see Chucky in his stupidity.
He goes over and grabs the principal,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Chapman.
He tells on. He goes into tattles. I'm like, really?
He's not supposed to be here.
Whiny little brat.
Oh, my goodness.
Leave my friends alone.
But Mr. Chapman is kind of forced to. He seems mm-hmm. very reluctant to.
But he's like, Steve,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, you gotta leave.
I'm gonna have to ask you to leave. I hate to break this up. I mean, the group kind of defends him. Like, no, we are having a moment. We're gonna make a big deal out of it. You shouldn't be kicking him out. Because I think at this point, the group knows that the fight wasn't Steve's fault.
I think the whole group knows now.
I'm pretty sure the whole school has probably guessed by this point.
Probably.
Especially after what follows Mr. Chapman walking away. Chucky kind of tries again to provoke Steve because
mm-hmm.
he says something about, I have a bus to catch. And he's like, oh, we're taking buses now?
Did mommy take your car away?
Mommy take your wheels? He's like, no, she didn't. And he kind of marches up to Chucky.
Like he's about to punch him.
And all he says is, do you know what you are, Chucky? And he's like, yeah, big guy, why don't you tell me? Or I think he calls him big man.
Yeah.
Which is like, you're trying to start a fight with somebody if you're calling
right?
him big man.
Especially somebody who's actually bigger than you.
Who's actually bigger than you.
Taller and much more muscular.
And he just leans in and tells him, you're a has-been.
And he kind of does this like little like fake out, like he's about to punch him.
He sort of reaches out towards Chucky's head really fast and then sort of pulls his hand back slowly and... like, tucks his hair back. And
yep, hand through the hair.
Hand through the hair all cool. And you even hear one of the, like, bystanders going like, oh, he faked him out.
Fake out.
Fake out. Great. As Dylan's walking by, he literally does the point to his shirt and, like, jab him up on the chin with his pointer finger.
And the whole group leaves.
One by one, and then David has his arm around Donna
very much like, eh, this is mine now.
But they all kind of walk past Chucky and give him this look like, you're a has-been. It's been declared. He got what was coming to him.
So then the gang all takes Steve to the bus station.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all saying their goodbyes. He has his bus ticket. It leaves at midnight.
Yep.
And Kelly says the sweetest thing. She says, no matter who or what you find out there, will always be your family.
Yeah.
And then the show did this thing that they don't always do. They don't normally do, actually.
No.
It was a long, silent ending.
Yeah, with just music.
Just music, yeah.
And as you watch Steve get on the bus, he's looking out the window of the bus at the group.
Nobody's talking, nobody's yelling goodbye, nobody's making a noise, they're just standing there.
They kind of show each of the gang as they're looking at Steve and how you can tell that they're feeling from their facial expressions mm-hmm. as he's leaving. And then they watch the bus completely go down the street and turn the corner before the credits roll.
Yeah. I thought that was very powerful how they did that.
It was very poignant.
Yeah. I liked that. That is how the episode ends.
Yep. Is Steve's heading to Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what he's going to find out there. we know that David and Dawn are a thing now, and it's Christmas break.
Yep.
So he has Christmas break to go and find his birth mom and then come back before school starts again.
Hannibal, what did you think of this episode, and what did you rate it at?
I really, really liked this episode. I think especially because Steve is one of my favorite characters.
He's really grown to be an amazing strength.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is about his character, but the way they've been writing Steve, like, at very first, like, that pilot episode, I couldn't stand him.
Because you didn't like him.
Because I thought that he was just a brat, but then as you kind of get to know him.
Because he was, actually.
He was. But then as the show kind of, I mean, barely a few episodes into season one already, you started seeing different sides of Steve, and I've loved how his character has been growing,
yeah.
And so I love getting to have a whole episode about Steve. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've had a whole Steve episode yet.
No, we've had ones where he's been a large part of it.
Exactly.
But this was a completely Steve-centric episode.
Yeah, and you got to see a lot of different emotions go through him. Yeah. And so I thought this was a really great middle-of-a-season episode, mm-hmm. because it did bring up some more things. We don't know what's going to happen in Albuquerque.
Nope.
You know? And now it's Christmas break. What's going to happen over Christmas break? Something, probably.
Usually.
So, I rated this one an 8.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. And I really enjoyed how Steve's part of the story was very completed in this episode, mm-hmm. with just enough left over to have another episode, probably.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Mom? What did you rate this one?
I also really, really liked this episode. You know, for the last several episodes, there have been things of like, I don't like this thing about the story plot, but that was well acted. No, no, no. This one, I loved the story. Mm-hmm. I loved how well it was acted. I loved how well it was written. I thought it was great how we really, there were a lot of subtle things. And you and I kind of talked about this when we were watching it this mm-hmm. morning. Like Andrea coming to the dance. And when at one point Brandon puts his arm around her. And there's nothing really there, but yet it's very a close friendship.
Yeah.
And Andrea just carried herself at this point in the season with such grace. And all these characters have grown so much. I loved Cindy's role in this.
Yeah.
The mom. And just it did such a good job of showing everybody without having the bouncing back and forth like a ping pong match.
It was kind of like you got to follow Steve as he went to go and talk to everyone. Yes.
And I thought it was so beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Ziering is such a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing him go through all this, and even how the ended, there were no words, but their expressions. By this point, too, these actors, they know their characters so well that they can fully emote and express what these characters are going through without words. Yeah. And it melted my heart.
It was so good.
I gave this one a 9.5.
Ooh, you went higher. See, I almost went higher, but
I loved it that much. It's, yeah. David and Donna finally happened.
Finally happened.
I have been waiting for this moment for so long.
I've just been waiting for David to just find somebody.
No, I've been waiting. I knew the David and Donna. Remember at the beginning of the season? And I was talking about how we were going to rate more realistically. And sometimes it's hard because I know what's coming. And there's not really been any episodes that I absolutely hate to the point where I'm like really super low ratings.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm reserving my, you know, nines, 9.5. There is still a 10 episode coming up, by the way.
Oh, really?
I think it's later on this season.
Ooh.
And it's not one you would think is going to be a 10, but it is for me.
Okay.
Because of the acting. And because of how beautifully they did it.
Sometimes that can make or break mm-hmm. an episode.
This episode did for me.
Yeah.
It made it, bumped it all up to a 9.5 because of how beautifully it was written, how wonderfully it was acted. And it all came together so perfectly.
Oh, man. This was a really great episode. It was a
really great one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see what's going on next week.
You want
to
hear that teaser for next week?
Yes, please.
It's 90 degrees here. Yes, that's right. You heard me. 9-0. I've been sitting here in my shorts. It is. It's really snowing. We're going to have a white Christmas. Oh, that's what I miss the most. Mom, I gotta go. That's Jim and Brandon with the tree. Well, yes, of course we still have Christmas trees here. I'll call you later. Listen, give my love to Dad. Bye-bye.
Come on, Brandon, lift. I am lifting, Dad.
Let me see.
Jim. What happened to the tree? I mean, it's...
I don't know what you're looking for. It's dead, Mom. Oh, it's not really dead. It's just... kind of wilted.
What do you mean, wilted? I mean, couldn't you find a green tree?
Well, not in this heat. And not when you go to buy it 2 days before Christmas. Hey, come on, it's not really that bad.
Oh, yes, it is, Jim. I'm sorry, but yes, it is that bad.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, I knew you should have gone back to my mother's.
Oh, Cindy, we did that last year. All of us crammed into your parents' house.
Well, at least the trees are green and there's snow on the ground.
Honey, we live here now. We can't keep running back to Minneapolis every Christmas.
And I can't even cook. I mean, who wants to eat in this heat?
Let's not get crazy now, Mom, okay? Well, come on. It'll be a fine Christmas. You'll see.
We've got to do something about this tree.
So the Walshes have a Charlie Brown tree.
It's so brown. Wait till you see it.
Oh my gosh. Jim is trying so hard, it sounds like, to make it seem better.
Oh, Jim, nice try.
Yeah.
This is the kind of tree I would be afraid to put lights on. It might catch on fire.
Oh, no.
So next time we get to discuss a Walsh family Christmas. All right, everybody. We will see you next time right here on
Back to the Peach Pit. Thanks to Pixabay.com for their royalty-free music, where we found our theme song by the Caffeine Creek Band.